All right. All right. It's good to see everyone. I hope that you have had a good week. It's been hot. Hot. I'm having a special meeting this afternoon for those that would like to pray for snow. Come on. Amen. Amen. Okay. Okay. Well, it is hot, and that's what we get in Florida, right? Hot. So I know we're used to it. It doesn't make it feel any better, but we'll get through it. And it's good to have you here this morning. I know that there are so many other places we could be, but it is always good to see you and to share with you here in the house of the Lord. And I pray today will be a blessing to you. I'm going to be continuing in James chapter 1 this morning. James chapter 1, I do ask that you stand with me in honor of God's word. James chapter 1, verse number 26. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Father, we thank you again for this day, for your blessings in it. Grace and mercy upon us every day, and undeserved. But how great your love is. We celebrate, and we praise, and we share. Strengthen, I pray today, all of us in your words, to be your people, to be stronger as your people, and to love as you have taught us to love. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be seated, please. Wow. We have been making our way through the first chapter of James over the last few weeks. And what wonderful life lessons James has given to us. And he continues today. And he really, if I can, punches us all in the mouth. Amen. Because when we began to talk about the tongue and how powerful it is and how dangerous it is, we all know what that means. We've been on the receiving side. We've been on the delivering side. We need to keep ourselves mindful about it. And it's easy to forget at times what our tongues do. Not just to other people, but to ourselves because of what we have said. Words that we might have spoken in anger or jealousy. Whatever the situation might be, how stinging they have been. James, he says other things about the tongue later on, but boy, he really gets down to the heart of the problem with the tongue right here. In this one verse, if we think we are a religious people, if we think we are good and faithful Christian people, but we do not bridle our tongues, we deceive our own hearts. And our religion is useless. I mean, man, that's powerful, and it's stinging. But you know, God's word is sharper than a two-edged sword, and it cuts and it divides. And it's not just something that is used by Christian people to tell others what is wrong in their life. It is what is used so we can learn what is wrong in our own life, and we can cut it away, throw it in the trash where it belongs. Now, there are many things that are spoken about the tongue from the Old Testament into the New Testament, and if you begin to do a little research on it, you find all of these things that are given to us about the tongue. In fact, in Proverbs, you find so many things written about the tongue. The tongue can be wholesome. Proverbs 15 says this, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. How many of us would love to be remembered for all of the things that we said that were uplifting and encouraging, but are probably more remembered for the things that we said that hurt, broke bones? Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's what they tell us when we're children, right? Why do we always tell those stories to the kids? Only to find out later as we grow up that it's not true. Words hurt. Words hurt. Whether we are intending them to hurt or not, that's a different subject that we can talk about. But when we are not mindful of our words, we can be hurting people and not even knowing that we're hurting people. It can be wholesome. The tongue, the use of the tongue and the words that we speak can be wholesome and building up a tree of life to people if we can build up and encourage. But boy, we can sure tear them down too. And that is the perverse side of our words. God never tries to tear us down. God never tries to destroy us through His words. He's always encouraging. Even if we find something that is wrong with us, He is encouraging. How many of you remember Cain and his anger at his brother in Genesis? God spoke to him and said, "Why are you angry? Don't you know if you do well, everything will be okay? But sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you. But you should rule over it." And these words from God, they build up and they sting at the same time, pointing out that there's something wrong. Cain, he was telling him, "Something's wrong, Cain. Don't you know, though, if you straighten this out within yourself and do what is right, you will be good, you will be acceptable, and everything will be okay. But if you can't, don't you know that sin is lying at the door and just wait, it wants you. Its desire is for you. It is wanting to possess you and to control you and to guide you in the things that you are about to do. But you should rule over that." But Cain surrendered to it. How many of us surrender to anger in our life and let our words show it? We're raising a white flag, but we don't want to say we've risen the white flag. Anger means we've given up and lost control. We're not building up, we're tearing down. Proverbs says that the tongue can represent how wise the person is speaking. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked, what is perverse? It can be wholesome and it can be wise and reflect what is known to be acceptable. How many of you know the kinds of things that God says is acceptable for us as a people when we live? Sin is not good. Fighting against sin is good. You might lose your battles here and there, but you can always find forgiveness, and finding forgiveness is good. But what about words? Jesus said in one place, "Let your yes be yes and your no be no." That could, in this sense, mean, yes, I'm giving up the sin. No, I'm not giving up the sin. I'm not going to say what I want to say. Or yes, I'm just going to go ahead and say what I want to say. And how hurtful it is. You see yourself getting into that place. I love this illustration. "I'm going to give them a piece of my mind." And you throw out that piece you really couldn't afford to give away. And you can't get it back. It's gone. It's there. And that is what is remembered. Not that you had patience, not that you had concern, not that you loved the person who was hurting you, not that you helped the person that was hurting you, only that you gave what you received. God calls us to be stronger than that, calls us to be better than that. A perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. Not only is the tongue wholesome and wise in different ways, but it is also perverse and sows discord. Discord. How many of you know what gossip is? Gossip. You ever been on the receiving end of gossip? Like this? So you could be on the sharing side like this. And how many times has it been helpful? And how many times has it been harmful? You see, the whole aspect of words, building up, bringing down. What is the motivation? Why are we even getting to points where there's such a thing as gossip? When gossip could be turned around and made useful. If we ever see somebody doing something wrong in life, shouldn't we tell them we're seeing that and it's wrong? I mean, God calls us as a faithful people to live a faithful life, but to share a faithful life. That doesn't mean that I see a stranger and they're sinning and I run up to them and I take the 20-pound study Bible I got at home. Boom! You're going to hell! Boom! That's not what it's for. But it does mean that I should, if given the opportunity and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, to approach that person with love and concern. And I can say things to them that help them build differently. I remember reading a story, and this has been years ago, so forgive me if the context is a little out. But it was a football coach, that old coach Tom Landry for the Dallas Cowboys. How many of you remember him? And he was a Christian man. And he had a player on his team that just was foul-mouthed individual. You'd think he'd been in the Marines or something. Amen and amen, right? One day he was in conversation with Mr. Landry, and Mr. Landry just turned around and said something simple to him. He said, "You know, there's a better way to share that information with me." And this is the context for what I remember. And the individual was relaying this conversation and whatever was written about it. It wasn't Mr. Landry, it was the individual. He said, "When he told me that, it made an immediate impact on me in such a way that it actually made me start thinking about how I spoke to people. And I learned I wasn't doing it the right way." And isn't this what God's Word teaches us about the tongue and how we speak? What we speak about. Let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. Let no unwholesome words proceed from your mouth. Get away from the dirty jokes and the coarse jesting. Even the Bible is clear on all of this. Don't gossip. We're tearing down our own image, or we're tearing down somebody else's if we're doing it in the wrong way. We're certainly not making a wonderful testimony for our faith in Christ, are we? A perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. It's almost like we're finding ways to cause trouble for ourselves even when we do these things and we do it the wrong way, using our words to hurt, to murmur, instead of loving and caring and going to. You know, if something is worth gossiping about, it's worth talking to someone about, isn't it? Certainly it is. God calls us, if we have something against each other, one another, that we go to that person. And we talk to them privately and share with them, brother, sister, something is really bothering me. We don't have to be ugly. Words don't have to be ugly. I'm concerned because of whatever it might be. Just lay it out. I want us to talk about it. Let's talk about it. Help me understand. Let me help you understand. Let's talk about it. Why can't people talk anymore? You know why? Because we are too distant. We have technology between us and them now, don't we? You know, how many of you remember the days when there were no such things as computers? There's only a few of us in here, right? How many of you, if you had the opportunity before computers to give someone a piece of your mind, but they weren't right there, it was something you had time to think about before, between when you wanted to and the time you had the opportunity to do it, and you realize it, probably just leave it alone, and you never said it. But now with a computer, we can get right on the keyboard and just let it go. On our phones, just let it go. There's no buffer. There's no time to stop and think. Man, I've been there. Sometimes I've said things I wish I could take back. All of us have. And God says it's in all of us the ability to speak the kinds of words we shouldn't speak. But let's stop it. If we're in something even right now, let's just stop it. God, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Help me and strengthen me against this. Let's move forward together. Let's move forward together. Helping each other, loving one another. Listen to what James says in chapter 3. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the image of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be. Should not be. But we fail. So we can stand here and sit here with each other and celebrate our love in Christ and the forgiveness of sins and remember who we don't want to be because of who we have been. This isn't a time to come together to learn secrets to tell or to whisper about. This is a time to come together because all of us need strengthening in Christ through love and compassion and the helping hand of understanding. Because we've been there. I've been on the victimizing side. I've been on the side of the victim. Been on both sides. growing up into adulthood, God says we need to let this go. We need to stop. And you know, when I was a child, I would do childish things. I'm not a child anymore. Most of us in here are not children anymore. Now, guys, I know we're always children, right? But there are times when we've got to act grown up a little bit anyway. But when I was a child and I did childish things, you know, how many of you have heard the stories that I used to love to throw rocks? I imagine there were probably other little boys out there named Joel that used to throw rocks and were worse at it than me. And I can imagine as many times as I had a talking to about throwing rocks, they probably had a talking to about throwing rocks as well. Might have went something like this. Little Joel, why do you keep throwing rocks at people? And because little Joel doesn't know any better, he says, well, I want them to know I'm mad at them. Little Joel, you're not a child anymore. So we don't need to throw our words like rocks. Put it down. Little Joel, let me show you what you need to do. Put the rock down. Well, they just hit me in the back of the head. It's okay, little Joel. This is what we do. Put your rock down. And let's go together. And talk. Boy, that would make it so much better, wouldn't it? I mean, as a child, it doesn't seem like it, and we're going to fight against it, but we're not supposed to be children anymore. We should be thinking about this as mature adults. How we speak, what we say, the context of our conversations. Paul says we should not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God in our life. I'm not a child. I shouldn't think like a child. And I shouldn't think like the world either, because God has changed me. He has changed me. Has He changed you? In every way, He's trying to change you. There are so many things that we can all work on. But I suggest to you today, words. We need to be mindful of our words. We need to be mindful to find forgiveness when we haven't been with God and with that person. You know, if the Spirit of God is in you, you know He tells you this. So, now, what do? You do what God leads you to do, and you find the peace that only He can give. That's my challenge to you. Not just for today, but for every day. To be mindful of who you are and how you show who you are. Through your words, through your actions, through your love and your caring. To be what God calls us to be. Now, do you know God as Lord and Savior? Do you know Jesus? And have found forgiveness of sins in Jesus. I pray you have. I pray that you're at peace and that His Spirit is just filling you with the joy of your salvation. But if you haven't, use your words wisely today and find that forgiveness and find that peace and that hope of eternal life in Christ. The altar is open. Will you come? Father, I thank You again for this day. I thank You that You do love us and that You do care for us. And Lord, life is hard, but You're still with us, even in our failures. And you have told us you always will be, no matter how hard it gets. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for that. But Lord, we ask you to, as you are with us, to be with our family, to be with our friends, Lord, even our enemies, that they can see and hear you in us. Father, we love you, and we thank you for loving us. Now strengthen us, I pray. Forgive us, I pray, and guide us with every step we take. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Will you come?